Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, South Carolina. And curveball, this episode is sponsored by Piper Insurance Group. I'm changing up my intro a little bit. We'll see how you guys like it. Piper Insurance Group, home, auto, and umbrella insurance. They can help you in South Carolina, North Carolina, Georgia with any of those personalized insurance policies. They're an independent insurance agency, so they can quote multiple different carriers to give you the best possible quote. They could even do fix and flips, ground up new construction, rentals, commercial, whatever it is that you need. So please reach out to Piper Insurance Group today. Their contact information is in the show notes, and thank them for being a sponsor of the show as well, because that's really helpful. And it's really helpful if you guys can support the show by supporting Piper Insurance Group, but also by liking, rating, reviewing, subscribing, unsubscribing, resubscribing, leaving a kind comment or a kind review or whatever. And of course, I'm a realtor as well here in Greenville, so it'd be great if you could use me as your realtor, so please do that. My contact information, all that good stuff is in the show notes as well. So I wasn't really sure what to talk about. We've talked about the Fed a lot. And I should say, I wasn't sure what to talk about for this episode. We've talked about the Fed a lot about mortgage rates, kind of tired of talking about that. The rate cut did happen this past week as anticipated. It was a 50 basis point cut and the markets kind of just yawned. It did not have a huge impact. It was kind of already priced into mortgage rates. So we haven't really seen mortgage rates do anything really significant since then. There's going to be a bunch of Fed speeches and whatnot this week. I don't know. I'm just kind of tired of talking about that for the moment, even though no doubt I will have to talk about that more here in the future. But I was thinking about, you know, what are the things that people are interested in right now? And sometimes I approach this show from the standpoint of what am I interested in, or what are other people interested in? And by far right now, the most common question I'm getting from listeners and just random people that I talk to is, what is the real estate market like in Greenville right now? And that's a great question, right? Because obviously the market is much different than it was a few years ago, much different than it was even a few months ago. We saw interest rates flirt with 8% at one point. Now they're flirting with 6%. That's a big difference. And obviously a lot has changed. We've had changes with, you know, the past few years with how the due diligence period in Greenville works. We had changes recently with realtor commissions, which I've talked to you guys about a few times, and we'll bring up again briefly here. But there's been a lot of changes, and it's easy to kind of lose track on, you know, if you're not someone that is very active in the real estate market. I can understand why it would be interesting for, like, what exactly is going on? What are you seeing? And of course, if you guys have listened to the show for a while, which many of my listeners have, you know that I'm very data-focused, very data-oriented. That, to me, is the most objective way to assess the real estate market. And that's what I prefer. That's the method that I prefer, because I don't like to just go off of vibes. I'm not a vibes guy. I'm more of a data guy. I feel like that's the most accurate way to figure out what's going on in the market. But people like stories. People like opinions, in some ways more than data. And because I am, no doubt, a man of the people, I want to give you guys exactly what you want at all times. So today, I'm going to be going through a bunch of things that are just random things off the top of my head that I am seeing in the real estate market right now. Some of these are going to be a little bit of a repeat from things I've talked about in other episodes, but I'm going to put a little bit of a different spin on some of them, I think. And we're just going to start right away with buyers and how buyers are acting. And here's my take on buyers right now. For starters, they're taking their good old time just waiting to look at homes. And by that I mean, you know, they will scroll for a long time on Zillow or on a search I've set up for them or whatever. And just kind of like, just not really excited about what they're seeing, right? Because housing affordability is not great right now. With rates being as high as they are, with prices being as high as they are. And so people are just not jazzed. Buyers are just not jazzed about what they're seeing. And so they're taking a long time to look at, to actually schedule to do a showing at a house, and then potentially going back for a second look, in some cases a third look, before finally making a decision on whether or not to submit an offer. And that's a really sizable change from really any point at which I've been a realtor. I haven't had many clients in the past that would act like that, but now that's almost kind of the norm. So that's a really, really substantial change. And it used to be, even before the craziness of the pandemic, that if you listed a home on Thursday, buyers kind of knew if it was in a hot area or if it was, priced really aggressively, that they needed to get into the home on Friday or Saturday to have a shot at making an offer, right? You need to get out in front of that weekend traffic. But buyers have gotten used to being able to just wait, or they're so jaded about being able to find something that they can afford that when it comes, when the home that they're looking for finally does come on the market, oftentimes they aren't ready, sadly enough. And I've seen multiple instances where buyers have called me to inquire about one of my listings a week or more after I've had it listed, only to be devastated to find out that it's already under contract. And it's like, why are you devastated? I listed this a couple weeks ago, but I just think that people have gotten so used to not having options, right? Not seeing homes that fit their criteria. They're exhausted, they're frustrated, they're aggravated, they're depressed about it. And so they just kind of give up, and then, what'll happen is at some point they'll be like, let me doom scroll on Zillow for a bit. And then they'll see, wait a minute, there was a home that could have worked for me, and it's already gone by that point. And so I would just say, if you're potentially in the market to buy, you need to operate as if you are currently an active buyer in this market. Don't wait. There's no point in waiting. And I'm not saying to buy a home before you're ready. I'm just saying start looking before you feel ready, because once you're late, you're late. I know it's really profound. It's like a Yogi Berra quote. But once you're late, you're late. You can't go back and unlate yourself. You've got to be on the ball. You've got to start looking earlier than you think you need to. And that doesn't mean that you need to start looking, like actually doing showings before you're ready to buy. Don't do that. That's a waste of time for everyone. There's no point in doing that. But start looking and start preparing yourself for what's on the market, and then you'll start to better understand what the market is like when it comes around that you're actually ready to buy and that you're actually in that financial position or in that work position or whatever it is that you need in order to be able to take that step and make that purchase. Now, as a result of this shift in buyer behaviors, sellers too are struggling, specifically with the balance of whether they should accept the first decent offer that they get or if they should hold out for something better. Again, with buyers moving more slowly than they have in the past, the old rule of thumb that if you listed a home on Thursday, that then you would have multiple offers or at least a ton of showings and maybe some really helpful feedback by the weekend, that simply doesn't apply anymore, okay? The market has shifted. And interestingly, I don't think that the shift here is so much because demand is too low for multiple offer situations, right? That would be a really easy conclusion to draw. It's like, well, there's no multiple offer situations because there's no demand anymore. No, I don't actually think that that's true. And I could show you data to show you that that's not true. But what I think is happening is that the demand is getting spread out now because a buyer's taking so long and waiting days or weeks before noticing a home, before requesting a showing or whatever the case may be. And so rather than buyers being urgent and seeing that home Thursday night, reaching out to their agent saying, hey, I want to look at it Friday, or seeing it Friday and saying, hey, we got to get in here Saturday, buyers aren't doing that. There's a handful that will look at a home on the weekend, and then, there will be some that'll look on Monday, some on Tuesday, maybe a midweek lull, and then it'll pick up again for the weekend. And sometimes that second weekend can even be more active than the first. And so this puts sellers in a really weird situation. They might get an offer right away, that first showing, right? A lot of those people that are the ones that are getting into the house right away are the ones that are the most interested, which makes sense. And so it's not uncommon right now that you'll get an offer right away from that first showing, and sellers can be tempted to think, well, one showing, one offer, why would I accept that? I'm just going to wait. The problem is that all the other showings that are upcoming might not be as aggressive. And so I've seen this happen multiple times where we get an aggressive buyer right away. And then the seller is like, hold up. I just kind of want to see how much more interest we get. And they end up regretting that. Or they end up having to go back to that buyer, or I end up undoubtedly having to go back to that buyer with my tail between my legs and, you know, trying not to make it seem like there's no more activity or, you know, and obviously trying not to throw my seller under the bus or anything like that. But it's like, okay, sorry, we kind of stiff-armed you at the beginning. Seller has come to his or her senses, and now they want to have a more serious discussion about actually getting this under contract. Excuse me. should have brought some water with me for this episode. And I'll just say this. I haven't heard a single instance where a seller has held out for a potential later buyer and it ended up better for them. I have not a single instance. I think every single time a seller has stiff-armed early interest and early offers that were good, but maybe they were thinking, I can do better than good, I can do great, sellers are regretting that because the market is, you know, is having all these picky, flaky buyers in it. You get a buyer that's not picky, that's not flaky. That's something valuable, right? That's not someone to stiff arm. So I think in general, if a seller gets a good offer from a qualified buyer, that they should accept it unless they just have a tremendous amount of upcoming showings. I mean, I'm talking about maybe you've got 15 to 20 more showings scheduled for the next few days. Typically, you know, you can kind of expect to get an offer every 10-ish showings, you know, so that's a pretty good rule of thumb. You're not going to get an offer for every showing. If you're a seller and you get that first showing and that first offer and you think, oh, I'm going to get 10 more offers, no, it doesn't work that way. Not in this market, at least. So something sellers are struggling with, I'm really having to advise them and really having to walk a tightrope with that because I don't know for a fact that there won't be better offers in the future, but all we can look at is what we have in hand. And, you know, maybe it's an FHA loan and they're asking for concessions and whatnot. And it's like, well, I'm willing to accept this and I'm okay with it, but I would certainly like to do better than that. It's hard to know if you will do better than that. And oftentimes, if you stiff arm that buyer right away, oftentimes they will kind of get jaded and their offer might get worse, which I've had some sellers run into that before. So you don't want that to happen. However, as I've already said, a lot of showings don't translate into offers. And based on that, I just want to say that buyers, in addition to, you know, the pickiness that I've already mentioned, they are, and the pickiness of like waiting to see and then taking a long time and going back, they're also nitpicking the homes that they do see. And I mean, let's just be honest. It's been rough. It's been a rough time to show homes to buyers because they're not in a great situation financially. They can't afford to do a bunch of repairs when they're already paying top of the market for everything. And so it's tricky. And I understand why buyers are being nitpicky. Don't hear me calling them nitpicky as me saying that they shouldn't be nitpicky, right? There's a time and a place for nitpicking. And when you're shelling out a ton of money to get a house that needs a lot of work, that is oftentimes a good time to be nitpicky. I'll say as well, buyers have also been backing out of contracts at record levels. I've seen this a bunch. I had a listing that had multiple contract backouts. That was super frustrating. June of this year, Nationwide had the most contract cancellations ever for that month in the United States. 15% of contracts in June were canceled, which is insane. So this is not specifically a Greenville thing, but it's definitely a Greenville thing too. It's nationwide. Buyers are flaky right now. They're overwhelmed. They get that, the estimate from their lender for what their monthly payment will be. And it's just like, what? This is $500 a month more than I was hoping it would be. And it's just very discouraging. And so this is what we have happening right now in this market. It's it's tough. It's tough for everyone. Nobody enjoys this market. Sellers aren't happy. Buyers aren't happy. Realtors aren't happy. Lenders aren't happy. Appraisers aren't happy. Nobody's happy right now, except for the Department of Justice, because they got what they wanted when it came to realtor commissions at not being able to be advertised, which that's a... We've talked about that before, but as you can tell, that one's still fresh on my mind. But moving on, let's talk about investors for a second. I those of you that know me well know that I got into real estate from being a real estate investor. People started coming to me for advice, and I thought maybe I should get paid for that advice. That was part of what led me to become a realtor. I'll just say this. Investors are really struggling to find deals right now on or off market. But that being said, there are more opportunities in the MLS than there have been in quite some time. And I've mentioned this in previous episodes. But there are some pretty cheap homes coming on market. And some fixer-uppers coming on market. And some multifamily properties that have come on market. Not a ton, but there have been some. There have been some really, really interesting properties. I've found myself showing more on-market properties to investors than I have in quite some time. So if you're an investor and you've been ignoring MLS, I would say now is the time to come back on board. Come back on board, start looking at what is in MLS again. You might find something that could be interesting to you, because even though it's a tough time to be an investor, there are some things that are popping up. Now, on the rental property front, with some of these multifamily and whatnot, the challenge is, as investors love to say, the numbers don't pencil. It's really difficult. You know, the numbers that investors used to be able to get when mortgage rates were lower, they just can't get those numbers. And if you're an investor and you're feeling that way, you might need to consider either maybe you're not fit to be an investor right now, or maybe you need to focus on projecting more for the future. Because in some instances, I should say, in most instances, real estate investing is about the future, not about the present, right? So you need to be thinking about, okay, this property is bringing in this much money now, but what will it bring in 3 years, in 5 years, in 10 years? And how will my costs go up between now and then? That is the approach. Too many new time investors focus on the here and now. You need to be thinking out 3, 5, 10 years. If you do that, you might find that there are actually more opportunities out there than you think that there are, but there's still not a ton of them. Like, even the most seasoned investor that has this down to a science is still struggling. So don't feel bad if you're struggling. Everyone's struggling right now. That's just the way the market is. Here's another thing I'm seeing. I'm seeing sellers frequently opting to sell a home as is versus updating the home and listing for a higher price. And this is very interesting. This is something that we pretty rarely saw for quite some time. I mean, pretty much the entire time I've been in real estate, this has not been a huge thing that we've had, with the exception of estate sales, right? That was the classic. You would see a fixer upper come on market, and it's like, you know, there's like old person furniture and whatnot, old carpet, you know, 40-year-old carpet, and it's like, okay, this is an estate sale situation. Well, we still are having those, not a ton of them, but we still are having those. But I'm seeing a lot of people, specifically investors, just like offloading properties as is and just being like, all right, I'm done. I need to be out. You know, I've been kind of milking this rent for a while, but my tenant came out and now I've got to decide, do I update this home, get a new tenant in it, hope to get higher rents? Or do I go ahead and just sell and be done and move on? And I'm finding a lot of them are just deciding to sell and be done and move on. And maybe some of that is because they have, you know, 5-year loans that are coming due or whatever the case may be, which is very common in the investor world. But regardless, we're seeing what they're doing is they're putting these rentals back on the market without doing a whole lot. Like, they're getting them just up to the point where they're financeable, or in some cases not even doing that. And it's just a fixer-upper property that needs some work. And some of these people, you know, they might be in a forced sale situation where they need the money, or they might be nervous about what the after repair value or the ARV on the home would be if they ended up, dumping more money into it. And so I think we're just seeing these people saying, you know what, I'll take the bird in hand versus two in the bush. I'm just going to, I know I've got this asset. that's worth something. I might be able to get more money if I sunk something into improving it, but I don't really want to do that. I just want to get out of it what I currently have and just be done and not have to mess around with contractors and doing a bunch of work and all that. I've been seeing a lot of that, and that's been a big trend. And I'm sure that if you're actively looking in MLS, you're probably seeing that as well. Tons of fixer-uppers out there, tons of properties selling as is, all of those sorts of things. And that's just something that that we're seeing a lot more now than we've seen in quite some time. Additionally, I've had one instance of a person, and I think you guys will find this interesting, a person trying to sell a house. Now, this is important. One instance of this person trying to sell a house where I actually told them not to list or sell their house because they were in a negative equity situation. It's the only time that I've ever run into this in my career, but it was a very unique situation. And what had happened was they had bought their home in 2022 in a new construction community, and there was still a lot of construction going on in this community at the time that they bought. And guess what? The builder kept building, but the builder started lowering prices, which is something builders, at least in this area, very rarely do. But they needed to move their inventory, and so they started lowering prices on new construction. And so my client, you know, my former client reached out to me to say that they wanted to sell their home, and I start looking in the neighborhood, and I'm seeing brand new builds for cheaper than the home that they were that they were wanting to sell, cheaper than what they had paid for it 2 years ago. So guess what? It's already hard enough to sell a resale in a community where they are building new construction. It's already a challenge. But when the new construction is cheaper than the home that you're trying to sell, that's game over. You're done. You can't sell that home without bringing money to the table. So unless you're like in a really dramatic for sale kind of situation, you know, one of those situations where you're moving and you just have to be out of that house and you have to be out of that mortgage, you're not going to sell. Because why? You would have to actually pay money at the closing table in order to sell the home. Nobody wants to do that. People want to make money when they sell their home. In this case, this person opted to stay. They took my advice, appreciated my honesty. Of course, it wasn't, I mean, I was being honest for them, but I was being honest for myself too. I don't want to list a house that's not going to sell, or list a house, get it under contract, and then my client find out they have to bring money to the closing table. They don't want to do that. So they opted to stay. We'll see. Hopefully in a year or two, they'll be back in positive equity territory with their home. But this is the only instance I've had of this. And I've not heard of others in Greenville running into the situation. I think I had a very unique situation. But I have been hearing nationwide that this has been happening more and more often with builders employing these sorts of tactics. So it is something to keep an eye on. Because if this starts happening more and more often, then it could really hurt buyers of new construction. That being said, I've only seen this in this one neighborhood. Out of all of the neighborhoods in Greenville, this is the only one where I have personally seen this happen. So hopefully it won't become a trend. Another thing I'm seeing is homeowners insurance costs are going up and people aren't happy. It is not great. It is not good. And it's not changing anytime soon. I hate to break it to you, but homeowners insurance costs are going up all throughout the Southeast. You can thank hurricanes. We've got one, we got a storm hurtling towards the Southeast as we speak, as I record this. Sorry about that. I moved my thing, and I just realized I don't even have my ring light on. I'm sorry for you guys watching on YouTube. I got distracted, forgot to put my ring light on. little chaos today. Today was a crazy day. Won't get into those details. But yeah, homeowners insurance costs, they're going up and they're not going to come down. It's just the reality of the situation. I don't know what the solution is at this point. We have a lot of insurance people in the South Carolina state government. So maybe they have some ideas, but also maybe they're not incentivized to change anything because they're getting paid out of the system and doing just fine. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you guys about this other than I'm just hearing a ton of angst from people about how high homeowners insurance costs are getting. And that's just something you have to factor in. You have to factor that in as part of your evaluation of a property. And, you know, my homeowner's insurance has gone up every single year since I've lived in my house. Now, it helps to have a good homeowner's insurance agent. That's where Piper Insurance Group comes into play, and their contact information is in the show notes. So reach out to them for a free quote today. They did not pay me to advertise for them twice, but I gave them a freebie on that one because it's the right thing to do, and they are good. But I mean, that's all you can do, right? You're at the whim of the homeowners insurance companies that are out there. There's only so many of them. And if you have a company like Piper Insurance that's independent and they're quoting multiple different agencies and they're saying, this is the best we can do, that's the best that they can do, and that's the best you can do. Like, there's just no two ways about it. And so that's something to keep in mind and keep track of that. You know, maybe go back to your homeowner's insurance agent and be like, hey, can we rerun this? Because I'm not sure that we can't do better than what we're currently doing. Moving on from that, the realtor commission thing. Okay, if you don't know about this, go back to my previous episodes where I've talked about realtor commissions compensations. Basically, the Department of Justice via lawsuits forced the National Association of Realtors and all the local realtor associations to stop advertising that they're paying for buyer agent compensation in order to make it a lot more negotiable with the public. It was always negotiable, but they wanted to make it more negotiable for the public to negotiate their buyer agent commissions. And people are wondering, you know, what's going on with that? Are sellers still paying for buyer agent commissions? Are buyers having to pay for all of it? Is it kind of split? I'll just say this. It's all still being ironed out right now. There's a lot of things that you guys don't even know about, like banned words, for instance. Like right now in the Greenville MLS, we can't use the words bonus because of fear that some agents might say that they're offering a bonus, like a commission, which now we can't advertise commissions in MLS, so we can't do that. We can't use the word offer because they're concerned about offers of compensation. I just wrote a listing agreement, a listing description, rather, for a house that I listed the other day, and I wrote it all up. It was beautiful. It was wonderful. I loved it. And I tried to upload it into MLS, and I got flagged that I had used the word offer 3 different times. And the context that I used it was, this home offers great whatever. But guess what? Right now, they're using a blunt force tactic of, we're just banning words out of MLS right now. I have been assured by the Greenville MLS that some of these words will come back, or there will be changes made in order to, you know, make it more friendly to realtors. But that's one thing that right now is causing a ton of angst for people. People are not happy. Realtors specifically are not happy about this. A lot of jokes going around about, you know, how to work around, you know, the word, you know, bonus for bonus room or whatever, or how to avoid using the word offer. A lot of jokes going around, also a lot of anger, but it is what it is. Another big, you know, change that's come about as a result of this commission thing is we're just having to communicate with listing agents. Buyer agents are having to communicate with the listing agents a lot more than in the past because they need to check on behalf of their client. Is a commission being paid from this listing, right? Is the seller offering to pay something to a buyer agent? Because that impacts buyers, right? There's never been a less affordable housing market than right now. And buyers, a lot of them can't afford to pay for their agent. And so they want us to ask the listing agents, if we're representing the buyer, ask the listing agent, hey, what's going on here? Is your broker offering to compensate a buyer agent? Is the seller offering to compensate a buyer agent? And how much? How much are they offering to compensate? Because that might take a home off the table. If a seller is saying, sorry, we're not offering anything to compensate a buyer agent, well, a cash poor buyer might not even be able to afford that home at that point without going unrepresented, which is a bad idea for most buyers. And so that's something we're having to do a whole lot more of with communication. Some agents want it in writing, you know, by means of what we call a compensation agreement. They want it to be in writing before they even show the house that they're going to be compensated. And I'm sorry, I'm not doing that. right? Because I've already said on this show that sellers, that the way my brokerage is doing it and the way we anticipate that all brokerages will be doing it within the next year is that compensation is to a buyer's agent is going to come direct from the seller, right? In the old days, it came from the listing brokerage, which I've talked about that in the past. So that doesn't make any sense. Listen to my previous episodes on commissions. Long story short, it's been decoupled completely from the listing commission, and now there is a listing commission, and if there is a buyer agent commission, it should be coming from the seller directly, not in any way from the listing brokerage. And so the way we ensure that buyer agents actually get paid is by having a compensation agreement between the seller and the buyer agent and the buyer brokerage. Again, as I said before, some buyer agents are wanting those to be signed before they even show a house, and that's completely impractical, right? If I have 20 showings on a house, I can't have my seller signing 20 compensation agreements at all sorts of random times in order for the house to be shown. I'm telling all these agents, you need to send in the compensation agreement with an offer. I had one agent that wouldn't show the house after that. That might be a violation of the code of ethics. Don't do that if you're a buyer agent and you're listening to this. That's a risky thing. And if you're a listing agent and you're listening to this, please don't let buyer agents bulldoze you by making you get your seller to sign a compensation agreement before a showing. That's ridiculous. It's a terrible precedent. It's not sustainable. We can't be sending compensation agreements by DocuSign to sellers, 10 times a day. It just doesn't make sense for us to do that. And the industry these agents have to get with the times. The only time I will say that it makes sense to get a compensation agreement before a showing is if you are not a part of the local MLS, right? So if I were showing a home in Columbia, for instance, I'm not a part of the Columbia MLS, I would, which I don't do, by the way, don't call me about me helping you in Columbia. Now I can set you up with a realtor in Columbia, but that's the extent of what I can do. And I'm happy to do that, by the way. I actually did that recently for a client who moved from Greenville to Columbia for work. But I don't know where I was going with that. The compensation, it does make sense, right? If you're not in the multiple listing service, it does make sense still to get that compensation worked out on the front end just to make sure that the listing brokerage is willing to even work with your out-of-MLS brokerage. That's a whole different thing. But if you're a Greenville realtor in the Greenville MLS wanting compensation agreements drawn up and signed by the seller ahead of time, I'm sorry, you're going to have to wait. Show the house and then do the compensation agreement when your client decides to make an offer. Last but not least, this is probably the least interesting. Maybe it is least. It's last and least. Sorry, I'm changing my tune. I'm seeing a ton of open houses right now. I've never seen this many open houses. I mean, there are so many open houses happening right now. And what's interesting is that many of them are not being done by the listing agents. In a lot of instances, listing agents are asking if other people want to do the open houses for them. And I'm seeing this at a rate that I've never seen before. So this is a great time. Like if you're big on going around looking at homes on Saturday, going around looking at homes on Sunday, there are tons of open houses happening on Saturdays and Sundays right now. I saw the one that was this past weekend, I think it was Sunday, that was from like 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. I've never seen a six-hour open house before, but for whatever reason, this agent was a glutton for a punishment and they decided that they wanted to do a six-hour open house. No, thank you. I've got better things to do on my Sunday than wait around for 6 hours. Because here's the thing. You're not going to get more people in the home over 6 hours than you will over 2 hours. That's just the reality of the situation. All that you're doing is allowing the people that would normally walk through the house between 2 and 4 p.m. to pick whatever time they want during the day, which is great if you're a buyer, but it's a bad idea if you're a listing agent or someone doing an open house. So lots of open houses, and I think that this is because, again, inventory has picked up a lot. And I think that sellers are expecting their agents to do some work, like get out there, shake some bushes, put up some signs, do some open houses. And open houses aren't a particularly great tool for selling a house. they're a decent tool for marketing a house, but it's pretty rare that you actually sell a home at an open house. So I don't necessarily encourage my sellers to have open houses, but a lot of sellers, that's what they want, that's what they expect, that's what they feel like they need, and the customer or the client is always right. And if you know anything about Greenville real estate, you know that there is a difference between a client and a customer. That's all I'm going to say about that. Lots of open houses. So lots of interesting things just in general happening in Greenville. I hope you guys enjoyed that. If you have any questions, let me know. You guys are great about asking questions, and I always try to answer them. If I don't answer them, something's wrong. I either died or my phone's not working. I unfortunately lost out on a listing recently because I missed a call. It was from a number I didn't recognize. I couldn't answer it. I missed it. The voicemail didn't come into my inbox for 3 weeks, and I lost out on a listing because of that. So don't do that. If I haven't returned your call within a day, something wrong happened, and please just text me to make sure that I am still alive. Okay, that's all I ask. Thank you guys for listening. That's all for today's episode of Selling Greenville, sponsored by Piper Insurance Group. Their contact information in the show notes. My contact information in the show notes if you need a realtor in Greenville. Please like, rate, review, subscribe. All of those good things with regard to the show. And we will talk again next time.